Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600 brought to you by Covers.com. I'm your host, Jason Logan. Welcome back as we continue to get you ready for the 2023 NFL season. We already did AFC breakdowns for all the divisions in the AFC. Today, we're going to be doing all the NFC divisions, and I'm going to be joined by Joe Osborne as we continue to kind of narrow down our best futures bets for those divisions. Before we get going here, we remind you that please subscribe and rate and review the podcast when you get a second. If you like what you hear on the Sharp 600, let us know. Let us know any other little segments that you want to hear as we get going. Throughout the NFL season, we're really, really excited with week one just right around the corner. So let's step into it. NFC division previews and best bets. Here we go. The NFC East, where my Cowboys call home.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's going to be too pretty this year. We'll see. Philadelphia. Yeah, I'm hoping for Coach DQ next year, but we can only hope.
It's history Philadelphia repeating itself, J-Lo.
Over and over
again.
Essentially,
they know Mike McCarthy is not the guy that's going to get them over the hump. Just like they knew Jason Garrett wasn't the guy that was going to get them over the hump, at year after year.
Like they knew Wade Phillips wasn't the guy that was going to get them over.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'll take the daggers out of my hair here. Philadelphia over 11.5 wins. This is one of my favorite bets out there. It was +110. Their season win total varies, but I like getting plus money on them to win at least 12 games. Dallas, I have them we've finished second in the NFC East, +135. In my ratings, there's a big gap between those two teams and the rest of this division. I have the New York Giants under 7.5 wins, Washington under 6.5 wins, not too high on those other division rivals. So what are you feeling here with these NFC East bets?
Yeah, I like the Eagles pick. I really like the fade of the Washington Commanders. This team absolutely stinks. Like, all we need to know about the Washington Commanders, they won in week two of the preseason at home versus the Ravens. They celebrated like they won the Super Bowl. That's all we need to know about that team. I think that's a pretty good indication that they stink. They absolutely suck. So they've had a bottom 10 offense in five straight seasons now. So they bring over Eric Bieniemy.
Yep.
I think there's a pretty good reason why Eric Bieniemy hasn't been able to get the head coaching job. Maybe he'll prove me wrong, but Bieniemy is not coming. He's not bringing Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce with him, is he? Now, the defense for the Commanders is pretty good. I think that they profile pretty good as an under team. Bad offense, pretty good defense. But I don't see them riding the ship under Ron Rivera. I think he's a pretty good option to be the first head coach fired. I'm not sure what the odds are.
Nope, that's a good one.
But he's not the guy there. So, yeah, no. I think that they are clearly the worst team in the division. I think people are sleeping on the Giants a little bit, too. Who knows what you're going to get with Dallas with Mike McCarthy stepping in to call the plays there. Dallas has a ton of talent, though, and you can't knock Philly very much at all. So, yeah, the Commanders stink. They'll be drafting near the top of the draft here in 2024.
Yeah, and I think under the new ownership group, that's maybe what they want. They want to, you know, they want to say that they want to win games, but they want Bieniemy to be that head coach and they want Rivera out of there. And that's kind of what I think things are setting up for. Yeah. Under 6.5 win, -120, the early point spreads, you know, they get to be a touchdown favorite in week one against Arizona, which tells you how bad Arizona is going to be. But then like their next best chance at a win is way, way down the road. You're looking at like week 11 where they're laying 2 points against the Giants and they may not win any games in between there. And then they've got kind of some toss-up games against the Bears and Rams, which may or may not be wins or losses. And then many of its close contests came against foes that are improving in 2023 here too. They play Chicago, Atlanta, Denver, teams that are expected to take a step forward compared to last season. And then their schedule really bad, too. Sends the Commanders on the road 6 times in 9 games between September 17th and November 12th. Wow. So I think they're going to be dead in the water. I don't think Ron Rivera is going to survive that September 17th to November 12th stint. Yeah, 6 games and six road games in 9 contests, which is just nasty. And so I definitely think they're planning for the future. So under 6.5 wins.
Yeah, and that could very well be the worst game of the season, the Cardinals in Washington for week one. I know the Cardinals play the Texans later on in the season, but at least you have the C.J. Stroud kind of buzz in there a little bit.
Yeah, I kind of like the Texans this year. I think they could be kind of an undervalued bet. Like week to week. Week to week could be a good spread bet. I don't know how much damage they do in terms of futures, but I think they could be an okay ATS bet. NFC North. Maybe a division that gets flipped on its ear this year. I have Detroit to win the NFC North plus 155. I have Minnesota not to make the playoffs. I have Chicago to finish second in the NFC North at plus 275. And then Green Bay, this is a divisive over-under season win total for a lot of people. I have their under 7.5 wins plus 110. What are you thinking here, NFC North?
I disagree with your selection on the Vikings. I kind of like Minnesota this season. Now, the Vikings, they were such an incredible fraud last season. What they have, 12 wins? How many wins?
11. They went 11-0 in games decided by 8 or less.
Oh, it was ridiculous. But I think people sometimes they see that and they will automatically downgrade a team going into the following season because of that. A little bit of the same vibes with a lot of people are downgrading the Giants because they won a lot of close games and kind of snuck into the playoffs last year. But I think we're going to see a pretty big improvement on the defensive end here for the Vikings, primarily because Brian Flores is stepping in as the defensive coordinator of that team. They were awful on defense last year. Now, that's Flores's. I don't think this is a guy who's cut out to be a head coach. I'm a Dolphins fan. You know that. He cannot manage a roster, and he can't coach offense, but he's fantastic at coaching defense. So I think you're going to see big-time improvement on that side of the ball. Also, I think that there's room for improvement offensively as well. It's year two with the head coach and quarterback, of course, Jefferson, making a claim for not just the best receiver in the NFL, maybe the best player in the NFL. And that division is wide open. It is. So, you know, they have established a little bit of a winning culture too. And there's a thing here with, you know, this team's won a lot of close games, so let's downgrade them. Sometimes I think we don't give teams enough credit for winning a lot of close games. What's not to say that they're clutch towards the end of games, maybe a little bit. Now, that I'm maybe contradicting myself calling Kirk Cousins clutch, maybe. But, yeah, overall, though, yeah, I like the Vikings to have a good season here and improve on the defensive end of the ball quite a bit.
Sure. But they always, there's those luck ratings that are out there. And if you look at the luck ratings, there's a lot of really good teams up there. And then there's Minnesota. So how lucky are they? And this is a team, that used to be like, that was their biggest knock was that they couldn't win close games. And then last year they automatically flip it and go 11-0 in those one score games. For me, I look at their win total, which is flirting with 9. And then I look at the look ahead lines that has them as a favorite in just 6 games. They've got one other one as a pick'em, so that kind of puts them at like 6.5 wins. Now, 6 of the 9 underdog spreads for them are at a field goal or less, which means more razor sharp finishes. And I have to believe in the regression. They're not going to go 11-0 in one score games. You know, I think even that balance is out, and those wins just don't get up there to make it into the playoffs. I only see one team, and that's the Lions from this division getting that solo ticket. And even then, I'm like, the Lions might only win 9 or 10 games as well, too. Yeah. This is just such a wonky division. You know, the schedule for them, the road is just loaded with elite teams as well, too. You have Philadelphia, you have the Chargers, you have Kansas City, San Francisco, Cincinnati. They're also on the road 9 times this year, which they didn't have last year because of international play. And then they could kind of face plant in some of those road games. They play like Carolina, Atlanta, Denver, and Las Vegas. They could face plant in a couple of those spots, which we have seen Minnesota do, just absolutely come out and lay an egg. So I just only see one team going from the NFC North, and it's the Lions.
Yeah, it's an interesting division. A lot of people are high on the Lions. You kind of dig into things. It's hard to disagree with people. It's easy to be in agreement with being high on the Lions coming into this season, but who knows? Would you be shocked if the Lions fall back to earth and become the Lions once again? I'm not predicting that will happen.
I kind of would, just with the progression that they've made in the first 2 years under Dan Campbell, and especially if you look at it from the betting lens, they were a shitty team that was a great bet, And then they were a team that everybody bet on. They were a public darling, and their spreads got puffed up, and they still kept covering the spread. So I think that kind of more that now that rolls into more straight up wins than ATS wins. So.
Yeah, I'm happy that they retained their offensive coordinator. I think some coordinators, they jump ship too easy. They have success. And oh, I'm going to be a head coach now. What's that guy? 29 years old. So
everyone wants the next McVay. That's what they're looking for, right?
Yeah.
Everyone wants the next McVay.
I'm happy for Goff too. He got completely thrown under the bus by the Rams, and you know sometimes you don't give quarterbacks enough time to develop. Not everybody 100%. Is Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, who right off the bat, boom, they're Pro Bowl quality, right? Yep. We got spoiled with those guys, but go take a look at the history of the quarterback position. Peyton Manning was not good in his rookie season. What did he throw? 29 interceptions. So
it was ugly.
Yeah, I'm happy to see Goff bouncing back, and I do hope he can continue that.
All right. I had him like actually cashed out a comeback player of the year award on Goff last year, midway through the season. I knew it was going to go. I think Geno Smith won it. Geno was starting to run away with it. So I hit the early cash out on that one. All right. NFC South, another division here that drawing a lot of attention from the offseason markets. I have New Orleans to finish second in the NFC South at plus 220. I have Atlanta to go over 3.5 divisional wins, plus 115. I have Carolina to finish under 7.5 wins. That's even money. And then Tampa Bay, you can get their win total at 6, under 6 at plus 130. Other places at 6.5 with the under heavily juiced. What do you like out of this bunch? What don't you like out of this bunch? Let me know.
I don't like the Panthers pick. I think that they're going to go over their win total. I think they have a pretty good base that they're bringing back from last season. And I do like the head coach quarterback combo, even though it is the rookie season for the quarterback. But I am in extreme agreement with the Tampa Bay Bucs going under their win total. If it wasn't for the Arizona Cardinals, the Bucs would be the worst team in the NFL. And this has got to be, I think, the most depressing quarterback drop-off in the history of the NFL, potentially.
I said in my preview, it's like the Speed franchise going from Keanu Reeves to Jason Patrick, whoever the hell that guy is.
Yeah, no kidding. Brady to Baker Mayfield, it's not good. And the Bucs stunk last season. Like, they got off to a decent start. I think it was 2-0. And then, you know, towards the end of the season, they struggled to beat up on Sam Darnold and Trace McSorley and the Cardinals. I think that was on Christmas Day night. And they barely snuck into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And that was with Tom Brady, right? So this team has a lot of issues. And I think that we will see them, if they do get off to a slow start, which is likely, I think we see them embrace going into a rebuild. Because they've seen the fortunes that a good quarterback can bring them when they were kind of a surprise contender and ended up getting Tom Brady. And they have every right in the book, every right to go into a rebuild. I mean, they're only a couple of years removed from winning a Super Bowl. But even much if like they the, try their hardest, like, this is an
age. Like the Rams.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Todd Bowles, not a good head coach either. So, yeah, not a whole lot of positives here. So, I like the under. I like the under on alt win totals as well for them. And league's worst record, plus 700 odds. You can't go wrong with a little sprinkle on that either.
Going to be tough to be as bad as Arizona this year. But so, the look ahead line's not kind to Tampa Bay either. They are an underdog in 16 of their 17 games, save for one pick'em that's out there. So maybe they get a win, maybe they don't, according to those look-ahead lines. But, I mean, just there are big dogs out there. The road is packed, middle of the calendar there. They're a visitor in 6 of 8 outings between week 8 and week 15. Eesh. That's when guys start bailing on the season.
Yeah.
Like I said, very much like the Rams, kind of mortgaged their future to win that championship now. And they did with Brady. So you can't take that away from them. But like you said, just that drop off to Baker Mayfield, and this is a team that's, according to those look ahead spreads, going to be playing from behind a lot. If you follow game script and forced to pass. And then when teams know you're passing, they're going to bring a shit ton of blitz. And what does Baker Mayfield especially suck at? Reading the blitz and throwing against the blitz, and he's god awful, and I don't even see him getting out of. I think he's gone by the time October rolls around, quite honestly. So yeah, I'm with you on this one. I took the under 6 wins. Like I said, there's a 6.5 out there. The adjusted markets are great too. I you know, maybe they sniff five wins, maybe. But no, this is going to be a bad year in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it's going to be a long year. They're going to be a punching bag for sure.
Yeah. All right, final one here, NFC West. A compelling one, a little top heavy as well too, with two pretty quality teams. I took San Francisco to win the NFC West -160. I said no playoffs for Seattle at even money, and that's just kind of where everything's trickling down in the NFC. I took the Rams over 2.5 division wins, -135, and then Arizona under 4.5 wins, -120. What can you get on board with? What don't you like out of that those four bets?
Well, I like the 49ers to stay on the tracks and keep doing what they're doing and be one of the top teams in the league. I'm confused about Seattle. I don't know which way to go with that. I do think Geno will have another decent season, but who knows? About they were a real surprise team last season. I think the Rams will be better than people are giving them credit for. I took the over 6.5 on their win total. Mm-hmm. But the Cardinals, this is one I agree with most. This team is awful. This looks like one of the – take a look at their depth charts. This looks like one of the worst rosters over the past couple of decades in the NFL. This is a rebuild on steroids. You know, they announced that they're not bringing Colt McCoy back, and it's like, how bad can it be? Colt McCoy was going to be your starting quarterback in the absence of Kyler Murray. Yeah. So DraftKings actually has odds on teams going winless. Now, I said I did like that bet on the Bucs possibly having the worst record in the league, but you got to consider we're betting big plus money odds here. You can get the Cardinals to go winless, 16-1 odds. I like that bet. Like, they're fully embracing, like, when we talk about tanking, I'm not saying that the players aren't trying. The players are going to be out there trying, but management is setting this team up to lose. There's not a lot of talent. They've already offloaded some of it. Don't be surprised if they offload more talent before the trade deadline gets here. I think that's like November 1st. But this team is going to be really bad. They're looking at Caleb Williams there at USC. They're probably going to have two picks in the top five of the draft next year. So they're setting up their future, and they're going to be really bad this year.
Yeah, because it's like you said, it's not just a rebuild. Like I said, they're redoing the entire culture here. So they fire Cliff Kingsbury, their former GM steps down. He was it's maybe a saving face there, but they are absolutely just stripping it down. And like you said, the guys that go out and play the games, but there's no expectations from the head office to win games right now. I don't think we see Kyler Murray in an Arizona uniform again, ever. I don't think they're not going to rush him out for the season. They're going to protect him as a trade asset. I think you're going to see a lot of guys, well, they got like Buda Baker in the back. Like, there's guys that they can flip for some heavy draft stock, especially if there's some contending teams that want to throw, a lot of picks at them and make a run at the Super Bowl this year. So they do have some guys there that could bring them a lot of draft equity. And then the look-ahead lines, as far as I can remember in terms of scanning look-ahead lines, I don't quite remember a team having zero games as a favorite and zero pick-ems, basically being an underdog in all 17 games, and that's where we find Arizona. They are an average underdog of about 6 points. Oof. And I went and did the math here. I said since 1985, 6-point underdogs have won just 31% of their games. So if you do the math, that says that Arizona can win 5 games in 2023. However, that's taking the look-ahead lines because, they're a touchdown favorite in week one or touchdown underdog to Washington in week one. These lines are only going to swell and grow and get bigger and bigger and bigger. So, by the time we're hitting November, the win probability is going to be so, so slim that the week-to-week spreads, those money lines, this team is just going to be bailing on the season by the time you hand out the Halloween candy. So, with you on this one. They're looking ahead to Williams. They're looking ahead to that 100% full restoration on this franchise. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't think Jonathan Gannon is the answer at head coach either. He had a really easy schedule as a defensive coordinator for the Eagles. He had a chance to shine in the Super Bowl, and he came up extremely flat. Now, he was going against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, so you can't really kill him too much for that. But, 2 wins, At the most, I mean, it's hard to look at. There's a couple lighter opponents, I guess, and teams do pick up surprise wins here and there. We see it all the time in the NFL. I do recall they went into Green Bay, I think, in December with Josh Rosen at quarterback and picked up an outright win. This was when Mike McCarthy was on his final run there with the Packers. So I'm not sure if we'll see quite an upset of that stature from them. But, yeah, they're going to be really bad.
I'll tell you, if they don't pick up enough wins by week 12, they're not getting there. So they play the Rams at home in week 12, and then they have at Pittsburgh, a team that could be contending for a playoff spot, but you're playing at Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. They have a bye in week 14, a late season bye that guys are going to be begging for. That's got like an oasis in the desert. Then they play at home to San Francisco, at Chicago in December against a Bears team that could be contending, at Philadelphia in either late December or January, and then they finish off the season at home to Seattle, a team that is going to be in the playoff mix as well, too. So I don't, if they don't have their 4.5 win or their 5 wins in hand by week 12, it just ain't going to happen.
You don't believe in the Jonathan Gannon revenge game theory going into Philadelphia late in the season?
Yeah, that is, so that game right now is +11.5. That is tied for the biggest spread on the look ahead board right now. And my power ratings on here, bear with me because I will pull this out, but I believe my power ratings have it like it's flirting with like 18 points essentially.
Oh yeah, that's gonna pass 14 points.
Yeah and we could see some historic spreads here with it, how bad Arizona is going to be. That is it for this episode of the Sharp 600, previewing the NFL 2023 season. Big thanks to Joe. Big thanks to Dell behind the scenes. Thank you for listening. A reminder to subscribe to the Sharp 600 and please rate and review the podcast. Send us any feedback that you have whenever you get a second. We're going to be back next week with our best bets for week one, including that big Thursday night opener, Lions and Chiefs, and then all of the opening games there on the Sunday and into Monday. Until then, good luck.